PureTalkRadio.com.
I have one question for everybody here tonight.
Are you ready?
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Now, I put no stock in what any man thinks, only what I know. And what I know is this: the result will be just like the first time. I will put him 6 feet under. Game over.
Featuring Sir Rockin.
I am talent. I am fame. I am music. I am the air you breathe. I am everything.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
While this show did many decent things, there were a few head-scratching moments on the edition of Monday Night Raw. This is the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. I'm Sorokin, that's Lindsay Ward.
Hello!
This is what happens when I read Twitter and we come on air. It's like, people are saying what happened at the end of the show was perfect booking. For who? Drew McIntyre? Drew McIntyre beating the number one contender for the championship was perfect booking? It didn't make him look weak? Seth Rollins
to be fair.
It made him look like an idiot.
Well, yeah, it made him look like an idiot. But, I mean, it's more, you had Brock come out, he distracted Seth, Seth took a foot to the face, and he lost the match. So he doesn't lose as much credibility as he would if it was just a perfect clean finish. But, I mean, let's be real. The story that they're telling with Brock and Seth is that nobody Seth's size can beat Brock Lesnar. They're being very sizist about this, where they started the show with Paul Heyman coming out and pointing out, you know, well, when AJ Styles faced Brock Lesnar, how did that go for him? You know, when Finn Balor faced Brock Lesnar, how did that go for him? And they're saying that the result is going to be the same for Seth. And I think they are forgetting that they've actually had Seth face Brock in the past. Like, this is not the first time that they've met, and Seth has held his own with Brock before.
You mean Seth Rollins faced Brock Lesnar and John Cena in one single match?
Yep.
For the WWE title way back in the day?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. He also, like, curb stomped both John Cena and Brock Lesnar, right? I think we interviewed him about that, like, the day after it happened.
Yeah, I think so.
You can hear that interview at rockradioshow.com. Shameless plug weaved in right there. Thank you.
Because we're bosses. But no, seriously, there's a lack of continuity here where it's WWE is completely unaware in terms of the storyline, where they're not even referencing the fact that Seth Rollins has faced Brock Lesnar more than once, and Seth Rollins has held his own. Has he beaten Brock every time? No. But he can get in that ring, and he can take on Brock Lesnar, and it's fine, and he can win.
Right. And that's everything is fine with that, but here's the problem. The musical, the distraction finish out of the WWE video game doesn't work in 2019. It just makes you look like an idiot. And that's what it made Seth Rollins look like.
What I want to know is this. Why are Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose last week and this week respectively handling Roman Reigns' problems with Drew McIntyre? Why isn't Roman Reigns handling Drew McIntyre? Because beyond they're selling the fact that he might have a concussion. I get that. But it's like, why are Seth and Dean fighting this fight for Roman and risking, in Seth's case, risking injury before he has a big title match? I'm not quite sure why you're having them do that. And, you know, in terms of Dean, last week was probably his swan song. They wrote him off TV with the injury. We're not going to see him again on TV unless he shows up in the Battle Royal at Mania. But yeah, I mean, it's like, why are you having Seth and Dean deal with Drew when it should be Roman?
Because they're selling the injury and he'll deal with them next week. Here's my thing with dealing Drew and Roman. Drew McIntyre should not come on Monday Night Raw and say the word Joe. He should never use Roman Reigns' real name ever. What Roman Reigns did with the cancer stuff was a real life thing. That should be the one and only time you ever refer to Roman Reigns as Joe. Using it in the story is stupid, it's pointless, and now you should just call Roman Reigns Joe from here on out.
Pretty much.
Like, he was trying to talk to the father, the husband. I get that, but the character's name is Roman Reigns. You had a couple weeks ago, Triple H used Richard Flair. I didn't like that, but it worked in that case. Because it's a 70-year-old man.
Yeah, there are certain cases and contexts where the real names actually work. But 9 times out of 10, it's like, it doesn't work. Because we were talking about this before the show, where it's like, in terms of the show, we all accept blindly that, you know, for example, Roman Reigns is Roman Reigns on our TVs. Who he is off our TVs is his own business, and he is his own private person. But for those 3 hours or whatever he is that he's around on our TVs, he is Roman Reigns. That is his name. That is his character. That's who he is. And we sort of blindly accept that. And it's like for them to come in and say, okay, well, we're going to start calling him Joe, when for the past 6, 7 years, however long he's been on the main roster at this point, we've known him as Roman. It's just a little difficult. It's like, you know, somebody walking out and calling Hunter Paul, you know, basically, or calling The Undertaker Mark. You know, it's just something about it where it's like, it just, I get what they're trying to do with it, but it's a fourth wall break that doesn't work. It's just like, it kills the magic just for a minute, and you're like, oh yeah, right.
If Jennifer Aniston is playing someone named Daisy, or playing Rachel on Friends, someone to call her Jennifer.
It's the same kind of thing. It's, doesn't work. You know, essentially what I liken all this to is we're watching a play, we're watching a soap opera with tights, or whatever you want to term it as, but we're watching a progressive story. And the moment that you break that story and trying to make that break a part of the story, to me, it doesn't work, because it breaks the illusion just long enough that you're like, oh yeah, right. Now, in some cases, it does work. Like, you have Ronda Rousey doing a fourth wall break right now, where she went on the internet, I think last weekend, and did this whole big rant about how wrestling is fake and da 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 da. On and on and on. You have Ronda doing that as part of a storyline. What works in that instance is she's still calling Charlotte Charlotte and Becky Becky. And she's referring to them by their ring names and not by their real names. Like, it would be completely different if she was like Rebecca Quinn and Ashley Fleer versus Charlotte and Becky Lynch.
Right.
So it's in that instance it works. In this instance, to have Drew come out and say, I want to talk to Joe. So basically, he doesn't want to talk to the character of Roman Reigns. He wants to talk to the actual person behind Roman Reigns. It's like, well, but in our minds, in our correlation, at least to me, I don't know about anybody else, but at least to me, on TV, that person is one and the same. Because I don't know Joe. I know Roman.
And that's all you're supposed to know.
And that's all I'm supposed to know. It's like Bray Wyatt. Because I'm going to get him on the show, goddammit, somehow. Because somebody's got to stand that man. I know Bray Wyatt. I don't know Wyndham Rotunda. I probably never will. And that's fine.
7 months, 5 days, 12 minutes.
Although he might be coming back at the Battle Royal. I'm going to keep my fingers crossed on that. I actually have hope for once that he's going to show up on my TV. But I know Bray. I know the character of Bray. And dude can go out there and say, we're one and the same, and da-da-da-da-da, and all the things that he's, all the crazy crap that he says on Twitter. But it's, for me, I know the character of Bray. I don't know the real person. Same thing with The Undertaker. Same thing with Kane. Same thing with Roman Reigns, with Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins. The list goes on and on and on. Every character on that show, I know them as their character. I don't know them as a person. Now, if I ever met them, I wouldn't mind me getting to know them as a person and, you know, the behind the scenes look and that kind of thing. But in terms of the story, in terms of the show, I don't necessarily want to know the real person. And I know that sounds horrible to say, but for the context of the show, I don't want to unless it's relevant to the show. Because I'm watching the show to see the story. I'm watching my stories, damn it. And so it's like, again, like I said, for the Ronda stuff, it works. For this instance, it works. And the other thing I don't like, and I said this on Thursday, and I'm going to say this again, is I'm getting vehemently against them using the leukemia as a storyline.
You defeated leukemia, but you won't defeat me at WrestleMania.
I mean, it is absolutely wonderful. Roman Reigns is going to be okay. Don't get me wrong. It is absolutely wonderful. It's amazing. It's all the things. And I'm so happy for him and his family that he's going to be okay. And they are not going to have to suffer through watching someone they love die from cancer. That, or struggle with it, or suffer with it. Like, that is a miracle that they don't have to go through that. Because I've seen people go through that, and it's awful to watch. It's horrific in some cases. So for him, the fact that he will be okay, that's fantastic. But that's where it should end. It shouldn't be, you shouldn't be using it as a storyline, because I've said this before. There is a rumor going around, and I give no credit to it. I give no credence to it whatsoever. But there's a theory going around that the whole thing is fake. The whole leukemia thing is fake, which we all know is not true. We all know he actually got sick, and we all know that he actually recovered. But they're giving credence to this by using it as a storyline. And that's not what you want to do. It's like, if you want to use it as a way to bring awareness to leukemia, that's wonderful. If you want to use it as a way to help people, that's wonderful, but you're not doing either. You're using it as a storyline. You're monetizing it for your own benefit. And I just can't get behind that. I'm sorry. Like, I hate to be so negative about it, but I cannot get behind this. It's like the second that Drew dropped leukemia, it was like, I'm done. I'm out. I'm done.
So getting back into the wrestling really quick.
Mm-hmm.
The better finish of the show, which should have been Brock Lesnar coming out, causing disqualification, laying out Seth Rollins, because then you don't have him losing 1, 2, 3, and that would have saved it all. That would have saved the ending, to me. Things that also happened on this show. Ronda Rousey destroyed Dana Brooke, basically broke her arm.
Poor Dana.
She came out there, got her ass whooped, took a big knee to the face, and then got tapped out. Then Ronda got into it with security, and her husband punched the security guards. There'll be consequences to that. She's rebelling against authority while Becky and Charlotte are on SmackDown house shows, so there's that.
She got to do something.
She's got to do something there. We had Elias say he's going to be a musical performance at WrestleMania, which means someone's going to interrupt them, whether it's The Undertaker or The Rock or someone else, but that's the direction we're going.
I will take The Undertaker at this point.
Kurt Angle announced in front of the world that for his retirement match, he wants to face the guy who got him kicked out as GM, Baron Corbin. Yeah, he fought Chad Gable on the show and beat Chad Gable. No one wants to see Baron Corbin and Kurt Angle. Yes, from a storyline standpoint, hey, it makes sense. But we just saw the match like 3-4 weeks ago on Raw, and it went 3 minutes and Kurt lost. Do we really need to see it again? No. But we're going to get it at WrestleMania. If it's Kurt Angle just getting in there and whooping his ass for 3 minutes, fine, get it in and out.
I feel like everybody was just kind of like, really? Really? You're joking, right? Really? Baron Corbin? Okay. I mean, I don't want to knock Baron. I certainly don't want to knock him at all. I mean, he's fine. He's credible, but it's like, it's Kurt's last match. I think everybody saw much grander plans for when Kurt Angle retired, in the style of Ric Flair or Shawn Michaels, who you had a bigger name come in and essentially retire him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people were really wanting to see John Cena do it, where he comes in and it's, you know, the end is the beginning, essentially, or the beginning is the end, where, you know, Kurt Angle gave John Cena really his start in WWE, and John Cena comes in and ends Kurt's career. So I think that would have been, like, a more dramatic story to tell, but I understand from a continuity perspective, because they're actually remembering continuity here, that Kurt Angle lost his job because of Baron Corbin. Here's the problem with Baron Corbin. You've essentially neutered him on TV.
And he lost to John Cena chance and got lost to Apollo Crews via small package, because that adds more credit. No, it doesn't add any credibility.
I mean, it's like, here's the thing. If you're going to have Baron Corbin take on Kurt Angle in a potential retirement match, or what is a retirement match for Kurt Angle, then you really should have Baron Corbin destroying people. That's my humble opinion. Dude should be, like, absolutely boss-level badass. He's not. And so I think that's why a lot of people were just very confused by it. But I mean, I completely understand it, because two, it's Kurt passing the torch. It's Kurt potentially giving the rub to Baron and saying, you know, hey kid, here you go. Here's the last match, which is really sweet of him. It's really, really super sweet of him. And that's why it's like, I'm not super against this, because I understand why he's doing it. He's giving it to the next generation, passing of the torch, all that stuff. But it's just, I feel like you could do Baron a lot of favors by just having him destroy people.
Yeah, it would make sense. When Kurt Angle's wife coming out on Twitter saying it's very disappointing, kind of shows you what it's there. Going back to the last thing, he was on A Moment of Bliss. No Way Jose's crew came out with heavy machinery. Alexa was like, Otis, we talked about this. You were supposed to come out at the end, not interrupt. And because apparently Otis and Alexa are buddies. That's the way she made it seem. Elias beat No Way Jose because we needed to see that. Speaking of things that we saw, Finn Balor and Braun Strowman beat Bobby Lashley and Leo Rush, because everyone thought Sami Zayn, and then it was Braun Strowman. Michael Cole going before the break, because he knows exactly what's going on in Finn Balor's head, you know, who the mystery partner was. It's going to be a monstrous, we think that his partner could be monstrous. Next.
You can't see it, but I'm looking into the camera like The Office.
I just did the same exact thing. really, Cole?
Dude's just saying what's on the script. I can't fault him. Somebody gave him that line. Somebody fed him that line.
That script
is
terrible.
And he read it like the champ that he is, because that's what he does.
That script is terrible. Let's be real. It was terrible.
I don't understand what happened. Like, last week was actually really entertaining and really good, and this week was like, the hell? What'd y'all do?
Ricochet beat Jinder Mahal. That's what they did.
Okay, that's fine.
Batista came out, or was live via satellite from Tampa, Florida in his office, and basically blamed Triple H for him quitting, for leaving WWE, for not thinking he is a star. He's proved his point that he is a star since he left WWE. Talked about how he will end his career and hopes Vince McMahon fires Triple H.
Well, Vince McMahon is not going to fire Triple H because he's family at this point. I mean, he gave Vince 3 grandchildren. You can't really
fire him.
Can't really fire him unless they get divorced.
Yeah. I liked what they did with the Batista thing. The Batista promo was really good. There's one other thing I liked on that show. It's only one.
Wait, no. I get to say this. I had a problem with the drapes.
Oh, God, the drapes. I forgot about the drapes.
The drapes. Okay, so I have to set this up for everybody, because Batista wasn't there live. He was via satellite in his office, in quotations, in Tampa. And you had Michael Cole interviewing Batista via satellite, which I'm like, why didn't you just fly Michael Cole to Batista's house? But that's entirely not the point. So you have Batista sitting there. He's in a suit and a tie in his office, where he's got these 2 fake brick walls on either side of him. I mean, props to the set department. They did try. There's a fake window behind him because he's sitting on center in the shot with the fake window and these lime green brocade drapes coming down on either side. It looked like something out of the 70s. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it looked very, very dated. And I'm like, that's his house? Okay. I mean, and then behind him, the window had blinds. So you had the curtains and then you had blinds. And it's just like, what? So yeah, I just, I did, the, the drapes were very distracting. Like, the interview with Dave was good, and I loved how he's, like, bringing all this stuff up, and I'm like, yes, Dave, we all remember. It was a very public breakup. Y'all and Hunter had issues, we remember. You went off on Twitter about it several times. We were all there.
We were all there. Okay, so here's the one other thing I liked about the show. Bailey and Sasha were in the ring, and they talked about how they're going to be on SmackDown tomorrow, and it'll be iconic.
Yay!
So they'll get their match and some sort of setup. Then Natty and Beth came out.
Mom! Beth! Jesus! I will have Beth Phoenix's children for her!
Beth, they gave Beth a lot of dialogue. They could have cut about like half the dialogue back. Basically, what Nia and Tamina were doing, they unwoke the dragon inside of her. And now she's ready to come back out of retirement because she wants the tag team titles. And they're like, Bailey was like, it's a good honor, but, huge honor, but, you sure you don't want more time to prepare? You've been out for 6 years and competition has evolved since then. And then Natty started talking, and it's Beth Phoenix. She's a Hall of Famer, and how she won the title here in Chicago at one point that got the crowd excited. Sasha then asked Natty who the hell she thinks she was talking to, and said Natty's just using Beth Phoenix's coattails so she can have a match at WrestleMania. Ooh, shot fire in that one. Natty slapped Sasha, led to a match after Beth like pushed Sasha and Bailey around, and then that got interrupted by a Nia promo. She's the prettier and stronger version of Beth Phoenix. And then Tamina super kicked everyone on the outside. Cool. I enjoyed it. I like the Beth stuff minus half the dialogue. I like the setup. I'm tired of Nia. If this is the swan song for Tamina at WrestleMania, fine. Giving her a WrestleMania match, it's fine. I'm over it. I'm kind of over it.
I'm very excited for this just because I always felt like Beth and Natty never got the credit that they were due when Beth was active. And I never felt like Beth got the credit that she was due when she was active, because she and Natty were kind of on their own in terms of being the only two real female wrestlers kind of on the Divas roster at one point. So they did their best with what they had, but, you know, they often got overlooked, or they were often used as enhancement talent for the larger, bigger female stars, which there's nothing wrong with that. That's how wrestling works. But it's just like Beth, I feel like when she was active, never got what she was due in terms of credit, in terms of all the things, even though she was a Divas champion multiple times, you know, all the other accomplishments that she's done towards the end of her career in WWE, she was kind of sort of just passed over. So, and they did do Divas of Doom towards the end of her career. And again, it was like, it was something that was really, really cool because you had these two really strong, powerful women working together, and they stood out and they were on their own in the women's division. And they could really dominate the women's division, but that's not how it went. So fast forward 6 years, and now Beth Phoenix is like, hey, I'm coming out of retirement, looking like a boss. And she goes, gets Natty, and she walks up to Sasha and Bailey, and she's just like, sup, because I think we've all been waiting for it, for her to come back, at least for me. Because it's like, if anybody could have fun in the division like it is now, it's Beth. Like, I want to see her against all the women in this division. I want to see what she can really do. And so if that happens, I'll be fine. You will hear me scream from 50 miles away, but it will be fine because Mom's back and I'm very excited. And by the way, in terms of Beth being in any condition, Mom is married to Edge. She's fine. It's fine. She'll be okay. People, I'm just going to leave it at that.
Just answer something in chat about the Iconics. I wouldn't be surprised if the Iconics are thrown into it as a four-way. Just call it a hunch. Because you got to get SmackDown in this Raw Women's Championship, Tag Team Championship picture somehow. Jokingly. Speaking of one other quick little mention, Braun Strowman announced that he's in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. We had a little reunion as she's the host, and he was talking about the Saturday Night Live guys, and she wants to make sure he doesn't kill them, so she has a week to come up with a plan. So that'll be the teaser for next week. Overall, the show had some good stuff, but it was really put the gas pedal next week.
we're at this point next.
That's all I got.
Next week we're going 2 weeks out.
You gotta put the gas pedal on.
Yeah, you gotta hit it hard. Because, I mean, I'm going to be completely honest, and I've been so negative on this show, and I hate that I've been so negative on the show, but right now, as WrestleMania stands, there is one match that I'm really seriously interested in seeing, and it's going to be at the end of the show. So realistically, I can go do other things for 4.5 hours until the women's match for the Raw Women's title goes on at the end of the show and be completely fine. So that's not the thing that I want to be feeling 3 weeks out from WrestleMania. I'm just saying.
But that'll do it for the Raw Post Show live right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. Thursday, we are live with The Rack.
Yes, and I promise we will be more positive than we were tonight. I swear it.
I don't promise anything.
I'm going to try. Like, I hate to be this down on wrestling and be this negative about wrestling because it's my escape. But, tonight was a little hard.
SmackDown's on you.
Yeah, SmackDown will hopefully be better, but we're going to be talking news, notes, NXT, SmackDown, all your favorites. It's The Rack, Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Saturday night, midnight-ish, is another edition of CB Radio, CBRadioLive.com. Wrestle Talk Radio should be back Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Monday night for a Raw Post Show, live, 11 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, at WildTalkRadio, Facebook.com/WildTalkRadio. Follow, subscribe, Twitch.tv/WTRLive, where you're listening to the show right here, right now. So hit the button, follow, and subscribe so you know when we go live and all that fun stuff. If you're into Fortnite like we are, and we do Fortnite with friends every Thursday and Saturday, use the creator code in the item shop, Rock and Sock, because that's awesome. Go ahead. Oh, one other thing. Forgot one thing. Check out the Rack X Reviews, Total Bella Season 4, Episode 8, now available. Check out the Rack X Reviews, WWE Greatest Rivalries, available now at RackRadioShow.com.
And you can follow me on most of the social medias, at Linsward, LNSWRD.
So, thanks to MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. We'll talk all things wrestling this Thursday night on The Rack at 10 p.m. Eastern. Right back here for a Raw Post Show every Monday night at 11 p.m. Eastern. Long day, so I'll talk Random Rack right here at WildTalkRadio.com.
WildTalkRadio.com.